Psalm 101. I will sing of steadfast love and justice to you, O Lord. I will make music. I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. Whoever has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, I will not endure. I will look with favor on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in the way that is blameless shall minister to me. No one who practices deceit shall dwell in my house. No one who utters lies shall continue before my eyes. Morning by morning, I will destroy all the wicked in the land, cutting off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
You can go ahead and be seated as we are wrapping up our last installment here on our Integrity series, Integrity 101, out of Psalm 101. I want to go ahead and get you pointed towards next week, our next series. Our next series is going to be, we're going to be in a relationship series talking about, as the title of it is More Than. And we're going to be looking at friendships. We're going to be looking at marriage. We're going to be looking at sex. We're going to be looking at children. And we're going to be talking about how in each of those aspects, God has designed it as something that is more than just what you see. And so next week, as we get started in our new series, we're going to be talking about friendships, and we're going to be talking about what is more than friendship. He's given us friendship, but there's something more that he's pointing us towards. Today, as we wrap up this series on integrity and us looking at what it is that God has called us to be, what it is that he desires us to be, I want to kind of remind you a little bit. In fact, today is really kind of like a bow. We're putting a bow on a series. And so it's going to hear some of the things that we've talked about, because I want to lead us towards something. As we've talked about what it looks like to have a heart that is set forth in integrity, what it looks like to have eyes that were set forth in integrity, what it looks like to have our mouth and our tongue that is designed and set forth for integrity, for the glory of God. So today, as all of those come together, what we're going to focus on, what we're going to see, the title of the message is integrity of influence, because all of those things point towards an influence. They point towards an influence. Growing up, the people who influenced me the most were athletes. I saw them on Sundays. Sunday afternoon after church, I was watching the Dallas Cowboys, wanted to be like a guy named Roger Staubach. Those were the guys that I saw. Maybe it was a movie star that you saw that did a movie like once every two and a half years or something like that. Maybe it happened to be a singer that put out a song. Maybe you were really big in a band, a singer, and they would be putting out songs or albums like every 2 years or so. Do you realize there is a whole category of people today that are called influencers? Like, and their job, literally their job, is to post daily. They may not be posting things that are like, that they are really good at. They become good because they post every day. They are influencing you towards something. It may be, I don't know, I'm not even going to get started in it. I'm not even going to try to call them all out. But they're social media influencers. And we see them because their stuff comes on our feed day in and day out. There was a survey by a company called YouGov.com. It is a English online English research company. They surveyed, did a survey of over 3,600 teenagers, male and female, from America, ages 13 to 17. The number one dream job for both male and female was to be a social media influencer. The number one job. They want to be a social media influencer. They either influencing through YouTube, Facebook, Twitch. I had no idea what Twitch was. You realize that there is a whole genre of people who want to be social, like they want to be esports stars, where people like watch them play this game. Like you can watch people play a video game. You may be thinking, that's crazy. They make millions. You know, there is this idea that we need to have these people who are influencing us and that we buy into their content and their creation. Hey, let me ask you a question. You realize that we're all being influenced by someone, don't you? You may be going, I don't even know what a social media influencer is. I don't have any social media. But you're being influenced by someone, by several someones. I want you to think for just a moment. This is a real exercise that I'm asking you to take part in. Who influences you? Who would you say? And if you say, nobody is influencing me, you're not telling the truth. Because we all are influenced by someone or several someones. Can you think of some? Yeah, you probably can. Some of us, can we bring it down a little bit? Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe you have a spouse that's influenced. I would assume, hopefully, your spouse influences you in some way. Maybe it's your kids. Kids, maybe it's your parents. Hopefully, it's your parents. There may be teachers. There may be someone in your field, in your work field, that you kind of follow what they do. You see what they do. You're learning from them. Could be a boss that's influencing you. You realize, though, and I want to bring this down even more. Do you realize that you're an influencer? All of you in here, all of us in this room, do you realize that we're all influencing other people? You may not have an audience or a social media account that has hundreds of thousands or a million people or even 50,000, but you are influencing people. All day, every day. You know, and here's the real scary part, is that we don't even realize who we're influencing many times. Parents, hopefully you recognize your influence in your home. Hopefully you realize, students, that there are people in your classes that you're influencing. But literally, we have people who watch our lives not to be vindictive. They're not trying to knock you down or get you out of the game. They're literally watching to see how you handle situations that come your way. You yourself are an influencer. And so with that truth, we have to begin to ask ourselves, what is it that we're, what kind of influence do I have? What am I influencing people towards? What am I influencing people towards? Because social media influencers are something. It could change every day. Maybe it's a product, maybe it's a business, but you and I are influencing people every day. And here's another unique thing. I don't know if you've thought about it, but a lot of times, in fact, most of the time, before you walk into a room, let's say you get called, you're getting invited to a party, you're getting invited to a meeting, you're going to a friend's house. Did you realize that your integrity will show up usually before you do it? Who you are walks into the room before you physically get there many times. Because they know your integrity. They know who you are. This is why I think King David and what he's been pointing us towards is so very important. And this applies to all of us. It doesn't matter if you're a husband, a wife, an employer, an employee. It doesn't matter if you're a child or a parent, a spouse. You've got a boyfriend, a girlfriend. It doesn't matter. Your integrity, wherever you are, is a major influence in the lives that you come in contact with. So as we start today, as we put a bow, as we wrap up this series, we're going to be looking at Psalm 101, and we're going to look specifically at verse 6 and verse 8. Verse 6 and verse 8. And there's two principles that I want you to see today. The first one is this, is that for us to have integrity of our influence, number one, we have to cultivate good influence. We have to cultivate good influence. Cultivating, usually you think about, hopefully, like digging, getting in the soil, making something grow, having to pull out some things that would hinder growth. Look at verse 6 with me, if you will, in Psalm 101. David is writing, and he says, I will look with favor on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in the way that is blameless shall minister to me. Now, I'm gonna do this really quickly. David has outlined in the first four verses here, look at those with me, in the first four verses, what his integrity he wants to be. Verse 1, he talked about he wanted to have steadfast love. He wanted to have an integrity before the Lord because of the Lord's steadfast love, because of his justice and his judgments. He wanted integrity in light of that. Number 2, in verse 2, he says he wanted to be a man of integrity. He wanted to be one who thought on the way of the blameless. He wanted to think about the way of the blameless. In verse 3, he talks about not setting our eyes on certain things. He talked about not having a perverse heart in verse 4. That in verse 2, he says, I want to have a heart that is fully set on integrity. What he has done in these four verses is he's outlined the standard for what his integrity is going to be. God, because of who you are, because of your steadfast love, because of your covenant, because of your right ways, your justice, I want to be a man of integrity. I want to have a heart. I want to study the way of the blameless. I want to have a heart that is full of integrity. Blameless and integrity, you remember, those are two words that mean one thing. Sound, complete, whole. Who we say we are in public and our private life, they match up. And we've talked about here, as David has outlined, what we set our heart on happens because of what we put our eyes on. What goes into our eyes, what we set our eyes on. Remember that illustration about the high table that maybe you put a vase on and you're setting your eyes, your gaze on something. He says, what I set my eyes on eventually will make to my heart. And when it makes to my heart, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so what you're setting your eyes on, David says, listen, you have to cultivate these things. He said, you got to cultivate these things. You have to guard your eyes. You got to guard your heart. Proverbs chapter 4, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. If your well goes bad, I mean, you don't have anything you drink. He says, so you've got to guard this. This is how important this is. Notice in verse 6, he goes back to language that he had in verse 1 through 4. In verse 6, he uses that affirmative, active language of I will. He says, I'm going to do something. This is resolve. And what is it that he's resolving to do? Well, he's resolving to look with favor on the faithful. It's very unique that David, in this psalm, 8 verses, he's using 3 words that mean essentially the same thing: blameless, integrity, and faithful. People who are sound, they're whole, they're complete, what they say publicly and privately, they line up. He says, I'm going to look at those folks. He's defined, this is what integrity is going to be. And now then, the people that I'm going to put around me, remember verse 3, I'm not going to look on worthless things. He says, now I'm going to look on those who are blameless, those who are sound, those who are whole, those who have integrity. I'm going to look with favor on them. I'm going to cast my eye on them, and I'm going to, in fact, he goes on in verse 6. Look at what else he says in verse 6. He says, they will dwell with him. They will dwell with me. You remember back to week 1, we talked about dwelling having 2 meanings. It can mean your physical house, like his palace, your home, and it can also mean your people. Those that are in my sphere of influence, those who are my counselors. He says, listen, this is the type of man I want to be, a man whose heart is bent on the Lord, his steadfast love, his justice. I want to be a man of integrity. I want to guard my eyes. I want to watch what comes out of my mouth. That means I got to guard my heart. Why? Because I want to do this for the Lord. And he says, after he's defined this, he says, the people I want around me, the ones who are going to be in my house, I'm going to cultivate those exact same people. The direction I'm going, I got to find people who are going in that direction also. And I've got to cultivate those friendships. I got to bring them in around me. I want my eyes on them. I want them in my house. This is how important this is. And he says this. Notice what he says. He says, he who walks in the way that is blameless shall minister to me. That word minister means serve. They're going to be in my, like, that's my tribe of people. He said, I got to cultivate that. I got to bring that into me. Folks, let me ask you something. Think about all the places that you go in your daily life, all the things you have to do that you don't get to choose who's around you. Whether some of you own your own business, this is a word to you that you need to look on. You need to bring people around you into your sphere of influence, into your council, those who are going to serve and minister alongside you. You need to get them in. But there are many of you in here, you don't have a choice on that thing. You go to work and you're not choosing the people you work with. They've been chosen for you. Students, you go to class, you go to school, and you go into, you don't get to choose who's in your second and third period class. You don't get to choose. I'm in homeschool. Well, when you go to tutorials, you go to co-ops, you're not choosing. They're there. The places that you go in your extracurricular, your ball teams, your drama troops, your dance classes, your rotary, I don't know who it is, but you're not getting to choose those. But here's what I can tell you. You may not get to choose who's in those clubs, but you can choose who you're going to surround yourself with in those clubs, in those places, in your work. You're going to be, listen, if we want to be men and women of integrity, then we have to surround ourselves with people who have the exact same values that we're driving for. God, I want to have people around me who are loving you, who are after you, who are protecting their eyes, who are guarding their hearts, who are guarding what comes out of their mouth, because Mom always said, birds of a feather flock together. You listen, that's not unusual. Look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Proverbs 13, 20 says essentially the same thing. Whoever walks with the wise will become wise. Whoever walks with the wise will become wise. Proverbs 27, 17 says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. You know what the implication is? You get two dull knives together, you ain't getting much. You want to be wise? You walk with the wise. You begin to cultivate a crew of people, a tribe of people, even in the places that you work, in the places that you go to school, you cultivate good influence. And what is good influence? Influence that is directly moving in the direction you are as it relates to the man or woman you want to be under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's not deep, is it? That's not deep. It is difficult, though. It is difficult. Because I tell you, the people you surround yourself with, you'll begin to do what they do. Just as he talks about what you let close to your heart, the people you let begin to influence you, you will begin to dwell with them. Can I encourage you with something? Thank you for letting me. I appreciate that very much. All the places that you don't get to choose to go, or that you don't get to choose who are surrounding you, there, when you do get the opportunity to choose, this is who I want to surround me, I want to be with these people, you need to take it. This is why we have life groups. This is why we have small groups. This is why we have men's groups. This is why we have women's groups. Men's groups that meet on Tuesday night and Wednesday night. This is why we have women's groups that meet on Monday night. This is why we have life groups that meet all throughout the week. This is why on Wednesday night, students, we have student ministry. You know why? Because we want you to have the opportunity to be around people who are striving and moving. You're cultivating good influence where the Word of God is being taught. You're sitting in small groups with men and women who are striving and moving after God. We want to follow you. We want to follow you. We're not going to be perfect, are we? No, we're not perfect. But we have men and women around us who are calling us up. We've cultivated relationships that are helping us with our eyes, that are helping us with our mouth, that are helping us to guard our heart above all. You see, this is what David is talking about. He says, listen, verse 1 through 4, this is the man I want to be. And verse 6, he says, who I want to be, I've got to look for them. And I've got to bring them in close. It is the most unique thing when we are talking to somebody and they're talking about a situation that they are so disgusted with, and I'll ask a question about, do you think they follow Jesus? No. Well, I hate what they're doing, but you know what lost people do, don't you? They do lost people things. Do you know what should disgust us more is when people who say they follow Christ do lost people things. And you know what? Let's not throw stones. Do you realize that any of us are literally a stone's throw away from doing that in our own life? And the way that David says, the way I believe this principle bears out, is that we have to cultivate integrity in our lives. And the way that we continue to cultivate that integrity in our life is to surround ourselves, look with favor on people, bring them in who are moving in the same direction that we are. The second principle, quickly, is this, is not only do I cultivate good influence, I eliminate bad influence. I have to eliminate bad influence. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says this. David's writing, and he says, morning by morning I will destroy all the wicked in the land, cutting off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. Last week we looked at verses 5 and 7, and I want to remind you again. Look at verse 5, 7, and 8 right here in your passage. It's not going to be on the screen. Look at 5, 7, and 8 right there in the passage. He uses some very expressive language to help us to understand who he's not going to surround himself with. He says, he uses words like destroy, not endure, they shall not dwell with me, none shall continue before my eyes. He uses the word cutting off. He says, these are the people I'm going to eliminate. I'm going to eliminate this type of influence from around me. If you're going to continue with cultivate, you have to eliminate the weeds. You've got to pull out, root and all, that which will destroy the plant. Notice he says in verse 8, starts out by saying morning by morning. Morning by morning. You know that Jesus, the scripture tells us, I believe it's in Ecclesiastes, forgive me, this is right. He says, his mercy is new every morning to us. His mercy is new to us every morning. This word morning by morning in the original language of Hebrew means this. It means daybreak, sunrise. He's very specific here. Daybreak, sunrise. He says morning by morning. Now, I think it's important when you first get up in the morning. I don't care if you're second shift, third shift, whatever your morning is, you begin it with the Lord. Begin it with him. Because you want your eyes focused. Lord, whatever it is that's going to be wicked and evil, the influences that are out there, they're going to seek to draw me away. The schemes of the devil one, the one who is a prowling lion. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Peter says, be sober mindful, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Evil is crouching at your door. I want you to hear that. Seeking to devour you as a follower of Christ. And do you know the only power that we have to destroy wickedness and to help us recognize the evil is Christ himself, the power of the Holy Spirit. God himself set a plan of action. It was he planned our salvation. Jesus Christ personally and sacrificially laid his life down on a cross, and the Holy Spirit applied salvation in my life by opening my eyes. A debt I could not pay, Jesus himself paid it. He defeated death, hell, and sin. He gave me a way. He provided a way so that I no longer have to struggle. I can recognize evil. I can recognize wickedness. When I'm in my, prior to Christ, in my natural state, do you know what I did? What naturally came to me? I sinned. And did it pretty well, I'll be honest with you. But when Christ came into my life and he opened my eyes, he then gave me the power to recognize. What is it because I'm wise? No, he gave me his word to help me to recognize what, as I meet with him, as I sit with him, at the same thing you can do as you're cultivating morning by morning, morning by morning. You see, the issue here is priority. When your morning starts, get before the Lord. God, I need you. I need your wisdom. I recognize now there are people out there that want to knock me off center. They want to knock me off. That they're the schemes of the devil. He wants to take me. He wants to take my integrity. Once again, let me remind you. This is from King David. The scripture tells us in 2 Samuel 7, I believe it is, that he was a man after God's own heart. In 2 Samuel 11, he's on a rooftop oogling Bathsheba and brings her to his chamber. And the web of deceit starts. We're a step away from King David and his sin in our own life, or whatever it is that he brings to us. This is why we must be before the Lord, morning by morning, daybreak by daybreak, sunrise by sunrise. First priority, God, help me to recognize the evil. Help me to destroy, because I know there's someone out there that's waiting to devour me. Lord God, surround me with men and women who are moving in the exact same direction. God, help me. Do you remember Proverbs 13, that passage that I read a few minutes ago? Turn back over to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, where it talks about whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. Look at the last half of that. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. You catching this? Students, you catching this? Men in the room, are you catching this? Ladies in the room, are you catching this? If you want to walk with, you want to be wise, walk with the wise. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. Can I tell you, I wish there was a way that you could skirt this. I wish there was a way this was not be true, but this is always true. It's always true. Father, this morning, I need your word. I need your wisdom. I need you to help me to recognize the situations that I'm in, where wickedness is crouching at the door, where evil is coming. Help me, Father, to eliminate that. Help me to destroy that. God, are there things in my life today that are worthless, that I'm setting my eyes before? Are there ways that I'm using my tongue that doesn't glorify you? God, have I set my heart in a direction that is leading opposite of where you're going? Lord, I need your wisdom for that. You see, morning by morning, we're called to this. I want to say this to you, and it probably doesn't apply to anyone in here, but if you're sitting in a spot and you're wondering, how did I get here? All of these people that are around me, these guys, I want to say this. Don't point at them. You have to start with you. Because we surround ourselves. Remember, this is what the scripture is teaching here. We're surrounding ourselves with people who are like us. We have to cultivate the type of relationships and eliminate. So what have you cultivated? Is it people who are driving in the same direction? Can I tell you today, there's hope. I have to continue to say this. I have to say it out loud because it applies to me. Maybe it does you. Thanks be to God that there's been one who was perfect and he took my place on the cross. Even though David was a man after his own heart, even though he sinned and the consequences of that sin rolled his way out, did you know that God never left him, never forsook him? You know why? Because he was a covenant God who chose to have a covenant with David that pointed to Jesus. And when David was not faithful, God was always faithful. And God drew David back. Now, there were consequences to his sin. There will be consequences to our sin if we dabble in it. But as a follower of Jesus Christ, He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will forgive you. You know who the greatest influencer in the world has ever been? You want to talk about an influencer? Let's talk about Jesus Christ. The one that we mark our calendars by. You know, as of late, and when I say late, the last 50 years, they've tried to change all of that. What is B.C., before Christ, they've tried to redefine as before Common Era, B.C.E. But it's before Christ. A.D., Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. In the year of our Lord. The entire world marks their calendar this way. Jesus Christ, probably the most drawn, painted. My wife loves art galleries. We go to an art gallery no matter what city we're in, if there's one there, and you'll see the Christ child painted, the man hung on the cross, the one resurrected, probably the most painted historical figure of all time. Modern hospital and healing, because Jesus was the healer. The modern day, the one who, listen, Jesus, who perfectly administered social justice and reform, Jesus himself raised and elevated women of his day. William Wilberforce, the last part of the 1700s in England, the great abolitionist, the believer in Jesus Christ, who stood for slavery to be abolished. Do you realize that every great university in our world was at one time started because of Christianity? Today, the modern reading movement in our educational system is because there were men and women who wanted people to be able to have a copy of the Word of God so they could read it for themselves, and they died because of translating and getting the Word of God, teaching people to read so that they would have the Word of God. You know, he's more than an influencer. He is the King. He is a Savior. He is the Lord. And if we follow him, we're not just looking to be influenced by him. No, we don't want to be just influenced. We want to be surrendered to him. And today, follower of Jesus in here, follower of Jesus, listen, morning by morning, eliminate and cultivate, morning by morning, day by day, moment by moment. I don't want my integrity to flow from you and to represent you. Today, there's probably in this room people who you've never surrendered your life to Christ. You've been living under like his general grace, the influence that he has in the world, but he's calling you today to surrender your life to him. Not just be influenced by him, but he wants to be your King. He wants to be your Lord. That's why he's brought you here today. Father, I'm thankful for today. I'm thankful for your word. I'm thankful for your church. I'm thankful for this body of believers, my friends. And Father, I pray that you would make us men and women who are people of integrity for your glory's sake. And it's in the name of Jesus I ask these things. Amen. As our